today. Wasn't really sure when to pick this back up, but I'd like us to, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5, that's where we're going to be at today. We're going to call this Unstoppable. It's part 13, but Casting Shadows, and the headline of this really would be People Are Healed by Peter's Shadow. So would you stand, please? We'll give reverence to God's word as we read this morning. I'm going to read verses 12 through 16 of chapter 5 there. It says, many signs and wonders were performed among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's porch. No one else dared join them, but the people respected them. Believers were increasingly added to the Lord, crowds of both men and women, so that they even brought the sick out into the streets and placed them on beds and mats, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might touch some of them. Crowds also came out of the city surrounding Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those who were afflicted by evil spirits, and they were all healed. And we've already prayed, you may be seated. So if you remember last time, thinking way back to last time we were in the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira had been slain by the Holy Spirit. There was this issue of purity as the church was beginning. And as you had these two people that were bringing sin into the church, the Lord dealt very severely with them, a maximum discipline in regards to that. And what typically happens is that when the issue of purity is handled correctly, the church then begins to take on new power. So you have, beginning with the rest of this chapter, you have really the power of the church. And there's a wonderful description of that power in verses 12 through 16. But then also, as typically what happens when God starts to bless somebody, it invokes jealousy. And so that's that power then, and the blessing of God, caused the religious leaders to persecute the apostles and the early church once again. So the rest of chapter 5, you can kind of divide it up into the apostles' power in verses 12 through 16 and how they were consequently persecuted in verses 17 through 42. And now we see the power taking place, and it was because, as the King James Version says, they were all in one accord. They were all one. They were living in unity, one accord. And that expression is very important, because that was what happened in the upper room. They came together in one accord. They were in unity, and the Holy Spirit came and fell upon them on the day of Pentecost. And this really was the high priestly prayer of Jesus for his followers. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but for those, also for those who will believe in me through their word. And that by extension is us, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, may they also be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory which you gave me, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in unity, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. John 17, verses 20 through 23. I would like to say something that's kind of been bothers me a little bit. There are so many YouTubers out there that have a platform that you have to be careful of who you're listening to. And one of the things that I've noticed, and I know that false doctrine needs to be called out. I realize that. But there are some people, I think, that are on YouTube, their whole platform is just to tear down other ministries and other believers. And it hurts me, because the world is watching this. And the world is watching how we treat each other. And the moment you put something out there on cyberspace, it's there forever. I don't have a problem correcting wrong teaching, but it's some whole ministries, that is their only objective. And we need to be careful that some things that we argue about are not worth arguing about, because unbelievers are watching these things. And that's what Jesus would say, that they would see our love, they would see our unity, and they would then become believers themselves. And so that's our desire. I hope that we have it here, and it extends beyond this walls, and we're careful of what we say about each other to others, but also in the Church of Jesus Christ, that we make sure that even though we disagree with someone, we do it in a loving way. And as Pastor Josh preached so well a few weeks ago, what the enemy wants is uniformity. What we want is unity. That's what you said, right? Is that what he said? Did I get that backwards? We're not all uniform. We don't all look the same. Thank the Lord for that. You know, some of you are way better looking than me. We don't talk the same. We don't have the same interests, the same hobbies necessarily. We're not clones of one another. There's diversity, and there needs to be diversity in the body of Christ. But even though we are diverse, we can still be one. And that is, we have a common goal of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my soapbox for today. But it's beginning to tell you a story here. Dr. Frank Mayfield was touring Tewksbury Institute. When on his way out, he accidentally collided with an elderly floor maid. And to cover the awkward moment, Dr. Mayfield started asking questions. "How long have you worked here?" "I've worked here almost since the place opened," the maid replied. "What can you tell me about the history of this place?" he asked. She said, "I don't think I can tell you anything, but I could show you something." And with that, she took his hand and led him down to the basement under the oldest section of the building. She pointed to one of what looked like small prison cells, their iron bars rusted with age, and said, "That's the cage where they used to keep Annie." "Who's Annie?" the doctor asked. "Annie was a young girl who was brought in here because she was incorrigible, which means nobody could do anything with her. She'd bite and scream and throw her food at people. The doctors and nurses couldn't even examine her or anything. I'd see them trying with her, spitting and scratching at them. I was only a few years younger than her myself, and I used to think, I sure would hate to be locked up in a cage like that. I wanted to help her, but I didn't have any idea what I could do. I mean, if the doctors and the nurses couldn't help her, what could somebody like me do? I didn't know what else to do, so I just baked her some brownies one night after work. The next day I brought them in, I walked carefully to her cage and said, 'Annie, I baked these brownies just for you. I'll put them right here on the floor and you can come and get them if you want.' Then I got up out of there just as fast as I could because I was afraid she might throw them at me. But she didn't. She actually took the brownies and ate them. After that, she was just a little bit nicer to me when I was around, and sometimes I'd talk to her. Once, I even got her laughing. One of the nurses noticed this, and she told the doctor, and they asked me if I'd help them with Annie. I said I would if I could, so that's how it came about that every time they wanted to see Annie or examine her, I went into the cage first and explained and calmed her down and held her hand, which is how they discovered that Annie was almost blind. After they'd been working with her for about a year, and it was tough sledding with Annie, the Perkins Institute for the Blind opened its doors. They were able to help her, and she went on to study and become a teacher herself. Annie came back to the Tewksbury Institute to visit and to see what she could do to help out. At first, the director didn't say anything, and then he thought about a letter he just received. A man had written to him about his daughter. She was absolutely unruly, almost like an animal. She'd been told she was blind and deaf as well as deranged. He was at his wit's end, but he didn't want to put her in an asylum. So he wrote here to ask if we knew of anyone, any teacher, who would come to his house and work with his daughter. And that is how Annie Sullivan became the lifelong companion of, and if you don't know, I'll tell you later. Well, the early church, they didn't have a church building. They met on Solomon's colonnade. But you know, there was such an excitement in Jerusalem. I mean, there was an energy, there was an electricity that was taking place in the city. People would lay down their sick so that as Peter walked by, his shadow might fall over them. And simply by his shadow, they were being healed. It was an incredible electricity, an incredible moment in the church. And I want to ask you three questions today. I'm going to center the message around three questions. And the first one is this: whose shadow has ever fallen over your life? So we have people who come, they might not even be aware of it, but they pass by and their shadow falls over our lives. And just because they were in our lives, it made a difference. Could have been a mom, a dad, a grandmother, grandfather, pastor, teacher, a coach. Who would it be? Somebody has influenced your life. It may be somebody that you haven't even thought about. Years ago, I read this story. I've shared it years ago about Charles Plum, a U.S. Navy jet pilot in Vietnam. And after 75 combat missions, his plane was destroyed by a surface-to-air missile. And Plum ejected and parachuted into the enemy hands. He was captured and spent 6 years in a communist Vietnamese prison. He survived the ordeal, and then he went and talked and gave lessons that he had learned from his experiences. But one day when Plum and his wife were sitting in a restaurant, a man at another table came up and said, "You're Plum. You flew jet fighters in Vietnam from the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk. You were shot down. How in the world did you know that?" asked Plum. The man said, "I packed your parachute." Plum gasped in surprise and gratitude. The man pumped his hand and said, "Well, I guess it worked, didn't it?" And Plum said, "It sure did. I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't opened up." And Plum couldn't sleep that night thinking about the man. And he said, "You know, I kept wondering what he might have looked like in a Navy uniform. I wonder how many times I saw him and passed by without even saying a simple good morning, how are you, or anything else. Because you see, I was a fighter pilot. He was just a sailor." I would encourage you today to serve, cast a shadow on other people's lives, even if you are not noticed. Even if you are not seen in the act of serving. The Plum thought of the many hours the sailor had spent at a long wooden table in the bows of the ship, carefully weaving the shrouds and folding the silks of each chute, holding in his hands each time the fate of somebody he didn't even know. And then Plum asked his audience, he says, "Who's packing your parachute? Who has done something that has helped make your day safer? Or easier, or more pleasant, or who has witnessed you packing for somebody else?" Those people deserve our recognition. And he went on and he talked about, you know, how we all need several kinds of parachutes. That's true. He points out that he needed many kinds of parachutes when his plane was shot down over enemy territory. He needed his physical parachute. He needed a mental parachute to keep his sanity in the midst of the capture. He needed an emotional parachute, something to keep his spirits up. And he needed a spiritual parachute. He called on all these supports before he was released and brought to safety. You know, sometimes in the daily challenges that life gives us, we miss what is really important. We fail to simply say hello or please or thank you or congratulations. Not looking that person full in the face and not just passing by without a word. So I would encourage you that as you go through your days, as you go through the week, take time to recognize those who have packed your parachute, those who have influenced you, those who have done something for you in your life. We all have people. Their shadows have fallen over our lives. The Holy Spirit has brought some kind of divine energy in that shadow that has helped us in a tremendous way. And well, of course, that leads us to this thought. Don't you want to have your shadow pass on other people's lives? In this world that we are living in right now, people need somebody who is walking by the Spirit of God. They need to see somebody that has the power of God working in their lives. we all need people to encourage us. There are people out there that we can mentor and that we can give hope and we can give healing to, that we can model our lives before them so that as we walk by them, our shadows could help them and bring healing to them in many areas of life. And I think it's possible that in this room today, there are people here that are walking down the highways and the byways of life, and your shadow is falling on people, whether you realize that shadow is affecting their lives or not. You may not be aware of it, but God is bringing healing and God is bringing help to people that are in your life simply because you are there and you are influencing them by your life. And the truth of the matter is, God wants to use you more than you want to be used. And I think we see this in Peter with these healings. Peter, in the book of Acts, he's always contrasted against Paul. We don't even know anything about Paul yet. But Paul, the persecutor of the church, a religious leader who was named Saul. We know his story, how he's converted on the road to Damascus. He will become the Apostle Paul. But at this point, he's not. And the main character in the book of Acts at this point is Peter. And Peter's living a life of influence. His preaching, his shadow even, is bringing healing to people. And what Luke does eventually in the second half of the book of Acts, he's showing that Paul is just as legitimate as Peter. I want to mention this today because with the Paul, he's either greatly loved or he's greatly hated, it seems like, in the church today. But, you know, Paul was not one of the original 12 apostles. And he refers to himself as an apostle born out of due season. And in fact, he himself thought that he wasn't worthy, fit to be an apostle because he persecuted the church of God. But it was possibly through the ministry of Paul that Theophilus, who wrote this book of Acts, is possibly through the life of the Apostle Paul that he became a believer. And the one that this book is really written to, not the author, I'm sorry, the one this book is written to was impacted. And so Theophilus might be wondering, you know what, if I got saved through Paul, you know, is that legitimate? And it's legitimate because what's interesting is that everything that Peter did, you can see Paul do. There are constantly parallels in this book. I didn't realize this until studying. Really, this is one of the reasons why you need to sit down and read a whole book of the Bible in one sitting. Because you might miss something like this if you break it up. And that's what I did for a long time. But as I was reading, I thought, hey, you know what? Paul seems to do the same things that Peter did. Well, here's Peter. He's able to heal a man by his shadow. Well, here's Paul. Here's Peter healing a lame man from birth in Acts chapter 3. Remember that? The guy who sat at the temple gate for 40 years. Here's Paul heals a lame man before birth. Peter heals by his shadow. Paul heals by a handkerchief. Peter has success, and the cause of that success is jealousy. Paul has success, the cause of that success is jealousy. Peter confronts a sorcerer. Paul confronts a sorcerer. Peter raises Dorcas from the dead. Paul raises Eutychus from the dead. Both Peter and Paul were jailed and miraculously freed. So I just want to point that out to you today. If you worry about the writings of the Apostle Paul being inspired. Here's the second question I want to ask you. How then do we cast shadows? If you want your shadow to have some kind of power, similar in some way to Peter's, so that as we walk along in life, we can help people and we can bring healing and we can bring hope to them, how do we do that? How do we cast a shadow? How do you and I cast shadows on other people's lives? And the answer to that is really rather obvious. You have to stand in the light. If you're going to cast a shadow, you have to stand in the light. You can't create a shadow on your own. You do nothing you do nothing to cast the shadow. And so the shadow only begins to happen as you walk in the light. So the whole secret to casting shadows is to walk in the light as he is in the light. And Jesus said, I am the light. Here's three things real quickly here about Jesus being the light. Light by its nature, like our Lord, is constant. The world has marveled at Einstein's theory of relativity, which Einstein said he was able to construct because the speed of light is the one thing in the world, in nature, that is unchangeable. The speed of light is always the same speed. It doesn't change. And Albert Einstein demonstrated that the speed of light is unchanging, but the Apostle John saw the unchangeable nature of God's light before Einstein ever saw the light of day. John understood that there is no variableness with God's light. The Lord Jesus is the everlasting, unchanging light of all eternity. Here's what John said in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him, and without him nothing was created that was created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. Do you understand? There is no life without the light of Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus, who in turn, he turned a chaos into a cosmos in the first creation, turned the chaos of my life into something wonderful when he made me a new creation. And I'll tell you, he did the same thing in you. When you became a new creation, he did something wonderful in your life. But he doesn't change. He's willing to do the same thing in each of our lives. I like what James said in James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from who? The Father of lights, with whom there is no change or shadow of turning. The hymn writer expressed it so well. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Like light, Jesus is constant. He doesn't change. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The second thing is, not only light by nature, is it constant like Jesus is, but also the light of life is uncorrupted. In 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No corruption, no darkness in Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the light, and now you're going to have to live in the light. Well, how do you do that? I like this expression. You have to swallow the light. Stanley Jones, he was a missionary to India, said that when he found Christ, he felt as though he had swallowed sunshine. It's a wonderful way of putting it, because the Lord, who is light without darkness, is also purity without sin. Literally. And we're separated from our sins, and we all start living in darkness. People today who are not believers, who do not have the life of Christ in them, they are living in darkness. There is no light whatsoever until you find Christ. Once the light comes on, then you know that Jesus loves you and he died for you. The whole message of the Bible is that all of us start in darkness and that Jesus is the light of holiness. But a mere man cannot attain to the holiness of God. And so Jesus himself, God himself, entered into this dark world and died on the cross. But he didn't stay dead, did he? He rose from the grave. And now if we confess our sins and we put our trust in him for salvation, the light comes on in our lives. The one who is the constant light comes and lives inside of us. And it's like we swallow sunshine. It's like we swallow the light. It's like somebody just turns on a spotlight or a floodlight and you begin to walk in the light. And then as you open your Bible every day, and this is why I'm encouraging you to sign up for these emails, is we open our Bible every day. It's kind of like even an accountability thing for us. As we open the Word of God, light begins to unfold. The psalmist said that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And then as we stand in the light and we walk in the light with Christ our Savior, radiating his life, we begin to cast shadows on the life of other people. As we begin to read the Bible and we begin to pray, it's like there's a light that illuminates us that comes from the Scriptures. And when we carry the Word of God out into our daily lives, we're casting shadows. We're casting shadows on everybody that we come in contact with. It's what enables us to walk consistently in the light and radiate that light is, I believe, it's that we spend time in God's Word in prayer. And the brighter the light, the sharper the shadow. Remember a couple weeks ago preaching on revival, I said I want to be able to help us come to revival and experience revival, but also be igniters of revival to others. And that happens as we discipline ourselves to be in God's Word and pray and to then take the light of God out into a dark world. And what we need to do is we get between God and some poor lost sinner. And that way we become shadows of God's light. The only way to cast a shadow is to stand in the light. And the only way we're going to be able to help other people is to stand between God and them, reflecting the light of Jesus into their lives. And the brighter our light, the sharper the shadow. The brighter your light, the greater your influence for Christ. You've got to live in bright spiritual light. You've got to live in the brightest of light, because you have to cast the starkest and strongest of shadows. But here's the great thing. You don't have to work at it. You just have to be obedient. Third thing is the majesty of this light is unconquerable. By the casting of the shadows comes, as you're walking in the light, it's not you doing it, but rather it's the Lord Jesus who is doing it. This is the thing that cannot be stopped. Think about that. It cannot be stopped. How do you stop a shadow? You can't stop a shadow. This is why the Church of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. That's why we call this series Unstoppable. If you are standing in the light, you are unstoppable. You are going to throw off shadows of influence, whether you realize it or not. You can't even help it. It's going to be effective. I'd like other, I got to put this verse up here. Oh, got ahead of myself. Good, I guess I don't have this verse for you. John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness comprehended it not. Other translations say the darkness has not overcome it, has not put it out, or can never extinguish it. I like that. The light can never go out. The darkness can never stop it. The darkness can never extinguish the light. See, Satan's darkness is not the opposite of God's light. It is the absence of it. Therefore, Satan and his kingdom of darkness must bow before God and the majesty of his light. There is absolutely nothing Satan can do to stop the kingdom of light. There is absolutely nothing Satan can do when you stand between God and somebody else. Nothing he can do to stop it. And so the first question, whose lives cast a shadow over you? And can I somehow cast a shadow over someone else's life? The second one, well, if so, if I can cast a shadow, how do I cast that shadow? And the answer is very simple. You stand in the light. You stand in the sunlight. Which leads to the third question. How do you cast? How do we cast longer, stronger shadows? Or in other words, how can our influence be greater? How can we grow in a way that our lives will have a greater impact on other people's lives? And the answer to this is actually pretty obvious as well. There is only one way to cast a longer shadow. You have to keep casting it as the sun begins going down. Right? When I was a child, I guess we all have done this. We stood out there in the middle of the day, you know, at lunchtime. We didn't have a very big shadow. We didn't have much of a shadow at all. And about 1 or 2 o'clock, maybe a little bit later, the shadow gets a little longer. You get down to 4:30, 5 o'clock, your shadow, my shadow, was much bigger than I was, right? Ever seen your shadow bigger than you were? Why does that happen? Well, it's because the sun is sinking in the sky. The sun is getting lower in the sky. And I think the lesson here is that as the number of our days gets shorter in our lives, our influence gets greater. Now that may sound odd to you because our society has the opposite philosophy. You are more useful when you're young. I would say the Bible says just the opposite. Your shadow gets greater as you get older. Your influence becomes greater as you get older. And you are more useful when you are older than when you are younger. The Bible has that kind of approach. Because you see, as we get older, we're increasing in wisdom. As we get older, we're growing in maturity. As we get older, we are producing more of the fruit of the Spirit. You should be more effective in your life at the age of 25 as when you were 15. You should be more effective for Him when you are 40 than when you are 30. You should be more effective for Him when you are 50 than when you were 40. You should be more effective for Him when you are 60 than when you are 50. We should continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should continue to produce fruit to maturity, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As you get older, you should be increasing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and His Word. As you get older, you should be growing in grace. And our physical forms, yeah, they may begin to deteriorate some, but the Bible says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And Psalm 90 says, the righteous are like a palm tree. They're like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of their God. They will still bear fruit, what? In old age. Sorry, I missed it. Where? There it is. The righteous are like a palm tree. They're like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of their God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will still stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is my rock. He is upright, and there is no unrighteousness. There is no wickedness in Him. I'm committed to the proposition that as we go along in life, we should become more useful to the Lord, walking in the light of His presence. And that's why we don't retire. Now, we retire from our professions. We retire from our vocations. We make changes in life. But that should only free us up to serve the Lord even more. We never retire from day by day doing what He has called us to do. Our work for Him might change, but we still work for Him. We make adjustments, we make changes, but to sit on the porch and just wait out the clock and twiddle our thumbs, That's not what Christians are to do. Because as long as you are alive, God has something for you to do. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day is recorded in your book." You know what God wants us to do? He wants to live in the moment of every day. Not looking to tomorrow, because tomorrow has its own troubles. Don't borrow trouble ahead of time. Why did Jesus say, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Why did God send manna from heaven on a daily basis? Because he wants us to focus on the day in which we are living. He wants you to focus on this day right now. God has every day scheduled out. It doesn't say he has our lifetime scheduled out. He says he has every day scheduled out. Every day is recorded in your book. Every day he has something for you to do. And as we go along through life, are influenced by the Holy Spirit in ways we may not even realize, becomes greater and greater. Our shadows become longer and stronger until the Lord takes us to heaven. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to be talking to God, because there are people out there that need you. You might not even realize it, but they need you. They need your influence. They need your shadow. They need your hope. They need something in the way of healing that only you can give to them. Will you stand in the light of God's love? Will you stand in God's light and get between him and somebody else who needs hope, who needs healing, who needs Jesus? Who are you influencing? Are you between the source of light and the people who need your shadow? There are some people that only you can reach, that only you can get between the light, that you can only get between God and them. In the spring of 1887, Annie Sullivan arrived at the Keller home in Alabama. She was hired to be the tutor for their deaf daughter, Helen. Expectations were a little low. Many considered Helen an idiot. The truth is, she was just deaf. And tirelessly, Ann Sullivan worked with Helen. Many would have given up, but not her. The famous breakthrough came in the family's well house. Ann poured water into a mug and over Helen's hands as she spelled out the word water, W-A-T-E-R. Suddenly the light came on and doors began to open for the little deaf girl. In time, Helen Keller would graduate from Radcliffe. She would meet kings and queens. She would inspire the whole world. The whole time, Annie Sullivan would sit by her side, helping and encouraging her, casting her shadow. When Helen Keller received the Nobel Prize, she was asked who the greatest impact on her life was. And she said, Annie Sullivan. But Annie said, "No, Helen, the woman who had the greatest influence on both of our lives was a little floor maid in the Tewksbury Institute." See, history has changed. When one person asks, "What can someone like me do?" I mean, the doctors and nurses can't help her. What could somebody like me do? Church, today the world is a Helen Keller, lost in the darkness and the blindness and the deafness of sin. And as Helen Keller could neither see nor hear, so is the world. Annie came to cast a shadow as one who could hear the rhythms of life and make them known to her. But Annie needed somebody to cast a shadow for herself, to set her free from the prison that contained her. And it was that simple, unnamed floor maid who began a chain of love, shadow, light, and life. When the crowns are laid at Jesus' feet, And he receives the honor and the glory that he deserves, far greater than any Nobel Peace Prize. He's going to share his rewards with us. That is an incredible thing. People who have simply been floor maids will become all of a sudden celebrities in the kingdom of heaven. People who packed other people's parachutes and had an influence on others that they might not even know about will someday sit at the feet of Jesus. And as they worship him, he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We will be there with the floor maids, the simple unnamed servants who were simply willing to cast a shadow and position themselves between a lost and dark world and the source of light, who is Jesus, the light of the world. All of this from a simple little verse. People were brought into the streets. They laid their sick on beds and mats, so at least Peter's shadow would fall over them and they would be healed. Could we do that? Could we just simply get between God and a lost and dying world and simply cast shadows? Simply cast a shadow? God, I don't know what I have that you can use, but God, use it. And here's somebody, God, that needs a message of hope. Would you let me be the person who casts a shadow and be an inspiration of their hope? We don't know what God can do with us if we simply will be obedient. But what a glory that will be when Jesus returns for us and takes us home forever. I think then we will begin maybe to understand what God was able to do with our lives. The message cuts two ways. If you know the source of light, cast your shadow. Perhaps there's somebody here today that has come to realize, though, that you are lost in darkness. Would you like a way out of the darkness? You can have it. And that is to come to God through Jesus Christ today, seeking his forgiveness, seeking his life, and he will give you new life like he did to Nicodemus. Thank God for Jesus, the everlasting, unchanging light of eternity, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into his glorious light. If you're here today and you are not saved, there is a shadow that is passing over you now. Now is your opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Then, whose shadow has passed over your life? Maybe there's somebody that God is reminding you about today. Maybe it was somebody who in your life you wouldn't have thought was that big of an importance. Maybe after all, he just packed your parachute. Would you be willing to reach out to them today? You might be just what they need to encourage them and help them in life. Well, we all have shadows to cast, and we very simply do it by walking in the light as he is in the light. And as we grow in life, our shadow should not be getting shorter. Our shadow should be getting longer. Lord, that song says, "Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Though the cost be great, I'll cast that shadow. I'll just simply cast the shadow. I'll just be obedient. I'll be obedient. You don't have to do anything else. The Lord will do the rest." Have your heads bowed today. I'll just ask this real quickly. Are you here today? You don't know Jesus. You're not saved. You're still walking in darkness. You've not received the light of life. Because without Jesus, you don't have life. Don't kid yourself. You don't have life without Jesus. There is no life without light. And Jesus is the light of the world. If you're here today, that describes you. Could I see your hand up and down? All right. Nobody here today. So the next question then, do you want to cast shadows? Do you want to cast shadows? Would you tell the Lord that right now? Lord, I want to cast a shadow. And I want my shadow to grow. I don't ever want to get to the point where I think you can't use me anymore. Father, you know how many in their heart are telling you right now that they want to cast shadows. Lord, I pray that you would strategically place them between you and somebody who needs them. And simply as they go through life, they would be casting shadows. That we would have the right attitudes about us, as we would represent you no matter what we're doing. We're casting a shadow by giving somebody a smile. We're casting a shadow simply by encouraging someone. We're casting a shadow by saying, I'll pray with you. Many ways we could cast shadows. Give us discernment. Give us opportunities. And I pray, Lord, that as a result of this, there would be great power that would rise up in our lives and in the Church of Jesus Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know Salvador would like some prayer today, and if there's anybody else that would want some prayer today, you just come on up here, and I'd just like to pray for you real quick. And then